Hello everyone, welcome back to the Laura Horn Art Podcast. I can't believe we're back already. It goes to show just how quickly a month goes past, because I'm pretty sure at the end of our last episode I talked about all the things that I wanted to do during our break, including filming new online courses, getting art up for sale, and I have made some steps in the right direction, but geez, things just take longer than you think, don't they?
Yeah.
So it's been a quick 4 weeks, but it's good to be back. And I definitely do feel like the podcast creates a bit of a rhythm in our week. And when I don't have it, I tend to just go off the rails. I don't know. I flit around so much because I don't have the structure. The podcast gives me just that little bit of structure that I need in the week to keep me focused on the art biz and not to flutter around too much doing all sorts of different things.
Yeah, when I was talking to you this morning, I was saying when you have a job like a 9-to-5, you dream of having your own, working for yourself and creating your own business and your own hours. But when inside of that business you take a break, for example, and you don't have structure, it gets really underwhelming.
Yeah, it does. It's easy to lose your mojo, and sometimes we need these things in our week that keep us going. And I know exactly what you mean, because before I had a business, I really wanted the flexibility of having an art business and being able to work my own hours. And now, after many years in, I find myself creating these structures that are almost the same as working a 9-to-5. So we come here, I try and get here for 9, I try and leave here by 5. I've been aiming to not do as much work on the weekends unless I really want to. So if I wake up and I just want to paint, coming over and doing that is not work. But, you know, as far as coming over here to sit on my computer and put things on my website or do that kind of stuff, I'm trying to prevent myself from doing that on the weekends and slow down a little bit and enjoy a bit more of a relaxed pace, because we've been going at this business for quite a long time now. And the way that I worked in the past, I've realized that it's just not sustainable in the long term. And the more I think about it, the more I realize that I was working maybe 3 people's jobs at once and doing so many hours. And I would, you know, I'd play it down. Like, I'd make excuses to convince myself that I was working in a healthy way. But now when I look back at it, I realize that, you know, it's just not normal to be thinking about and working on your art business 24/7. It's just not healthy for that to be the main thought every day, like to wake up and think, what do I need to do, to go to bed at night, to be sitting at 9-10 o'clock at night thinking, I should do this tomorrow, I should post this, how about I try this? You know, it was just too much.
And the kids noticed it.
Yeah. And, you know, this was several years ago now, but it sort of creeps back in. But I have been operating very differently. And it does come at a price. Like, when I look at the bottom line of the business, I can see a decline because of the reduced amount of hours. And that's the tricky thing about working for yourself, is that there is this direct correlation, like put more hours in, make more money. And, you know, it's not exact like that. But in general, the more effort you put in, the more you get rewarded with profit. And so stepping away from that is really challenging. And I was listening to something a while ago, and the person said, you've got to get comfortable with just leaving money on the table. And that has stuck with me, that idea that, you know, I can't just keep pushing because there's no end. What do? Do I work 24/7? Do I set an alarm to get up at 3 a.m. just because, you know, I could do more?
Well, it's hustle culture, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, if you're if you're sleeping, you're losing.
Yeah, and I've never thought that I bought into hustle culture, but there's this hustle that seeps in, even if you're not really the type of person that you would think of as a hustling type.
Yeah, I remember seeing a video with Gary Vee, I think it was, and he was saying the great thing about the internet is that you could be working an accountant job for, let's say, $100,000 a year. I'm just throwing that number out there. But you might be a total Star Wars nerd, right? Now, I'm saying Star Wars nerd because I'm a Star Wars nerd. You could start a YouTube channel, a little business with your iPhone, and you could build that little business up to making $80,000 a year. So you're taking a $20,000 a year decrease in pay to do something you absolutely love. And I really liked the idea of that until we started a business doing something we absolutely love. The problem you run into is you can make more money the more work you do. So it's not $80,000 a year guaranteed making Star Wars videos. It's if you make more Star Wars videos, if you don't take your kids to school, if you get a babysitter, if you work 16 hours a day, you might make $200,000 a year making Star Wars videos. And it won't be long before you're burnt out, you hate what you're doing, you fall out of love with Star Wars, and you're wishing you were an accountant again.
Yeah, it's just difficult because it is like that. If you're a YouTuber and you make one YouTube video a week, what would happen if I made two videos a week? If you're making money off Reels and TikToks, you know, what if I start doing that twice a day? And even though you might make less on each individual thing that you put out, when you add it all together, generally it's more. So do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah. So do it all to make more.
So just do more of everything, sell more paintings, think of different avenues for your business, post more, create more. It's just more. And it takes a lot of soul searching and considering what you really want from life to step away from that and say, well, this is actually enough. I don't need to push so hard. And what I found was that over the last year or two, I've had some questions in my mind around, is this as fun as it used to be? Or is this starting to feel more like a chore? And I've also heard other people saying that too. There's been a lot of talk around people losing their spark, not feeling quite as free and excited. And I saw a little reel by Tracy Verdugo. She posted that recently, and she was talking about this, about not feeling quite as excited and as free to post in a way that feels authentic and comfortable. And things have become much more competitive and profit driven, and it's changed the game. And I feel a little bit nostalgic sometimes. I feel this nostalgia towards what my life was like in the past compared to now. And I don't know if that's just getting old and that you always feel that way, or whether or not things were actually better. I'm not sure. Like, I think about before social media really took over, and there was all this sort of fast-paced content and this sort of more attitude and advertising and all that. And I wonder, I was like, was it more fun back then? Like, I was still doing the same things, but did it feel different? Something feels different now about it.
Yeah. Well, look, I've spoken about this before on podcasts, and, you know, my builder's license came up for renewal again this month, and I renewed it. And I remember, I think it was a podcast maybe 2 years ago, I was saying, this year I'm not going to renew it. You know, this is what I do now. But every time it comes up to renew, it's not that I don't want to go back to being a building supervisor. It's just, in order to get that license, you have to do interviews, you have to do courses. But when you have it forever. You just need to keep renewing it.
Yeah.
And just, yeah, every time it comes up for renewal every year, it just reminds me of where I came from, how lucky I am to be in the position I'm in now, but also have that little, there's always that to fall back on in my back pocket. Because sometimes when I spit the dummy, I always shout at you, you know, I'm going to drive a truck. I'm sick of this business. I'm getting a job driving a truck.
I think all of us that run our own businesses have those moments where we think, geez, you know, would it be nice to just have a little 9-to-5, go to the office, do someone else's work for the day, walk out, it be finished, not my problem. I think we romanticize and fantasize about that a little bit. But of course, when I was in that, I was dreaming about freedom and flexibility and possibility and creativity. And when I got started going doing that, it was so fun. It made me feel so alive and excited. But I have lost a bit of that as time has gone on. And what I'm really trying to do is tap back into it and figure out how to tap into some of that new energy. Now, some people who are listening to this podcast, they might be at that stage where they're just getting started and it is really exciting and there's a lot of newness coming through. And there's a lot of fear as well because you're trying many different things, but it's quite exhilarating. And it is something to embrace because I have so many fond memories of those early days and trying all the things and being at art markets and trying to sell things and emails coming in and me looking at who sent me an email wanting to interview me or put something in a magazine and being totally wowed, right? Absolutely, like, oh my goodness, this person's contacted me. Little old me. And it's just the way things have changed because now I get emails and I'm like, oh, I don't want to say that. I don't want to say that on the podcast. I sound like a horrible person, but it's just, yeah, you know, I just don't want to forget though that where I came from and that magic of the early days. So while we've been on this break, I've been spending a lot of time in my studio working on small pieces and just having fun, like reminding myself how to just get stuck in, try out different materials, loosen up, embrace the process and be a beginner again in many ways. But one of the things that I have been doing is working in a kind of consistent method, I would say. So I've been working on paper pieces. They're all 10 inch by 14 inch watercolor paper. And I've been coming in and applying some texture to the base of those pieces and then creating loose, fluid abstracts and avoiding putting in any kind of imagery. So I've set myself a bit of a challenge. So with many of my pieces, I bring in botanical imagery. I work in quite slow, delicate layers. So it takes time. So I'll put down a washi layer of paint, I'll let it dry, I'll come back, I'll put down another layer. And while I love the slowness of that process, I've been craving something that is more energetic, freer in a way. And I guess what I've wanted is to just sit down, paint, and then let that painting be finished in that session. So have it be a really quick process where it's just one layer or one or two layers. I'm not waiting on drying time. I'm not overthinking it. I'm just sort of letting the art out. So I set myself these parameters around creating these loose abstracts, incorporating some textural effects, not including imagery, and painting them very quickly. So quick sessions. And that has been super, super fun and a really great way to just get into the studio and get painting. So I do think that sometimes having I guess like a little focus, a little project that you're working on, can be a great way to get back into flow. So that's really what I was aiming for over the break, was to get back into a good painting flow and to paint almost every day, which is what I've been doing, just getting in an hour or two here and there and utilizing the time when our puppy has been napping. And so this has really been the main reason for this sped up process, is because I have less time. I don't have like the whole day to sort of just, you know, use my studio and allow things to dry and come back to them. I'm going in there with like an hour or two and I want to come out with something. And so it sped up my process to create these looser abstracts. So that's what I've been doing, but it's been making me feel very nostalgic. Like the process of making the paintings reminds me a lot of how I used to paint when I first started. So it's a lot of just slapping things down, experimenting, trying a new tool, allowing things to come through in the process, rather than thinking, okay, I'm going to work with these colors, I'm going to bring in this type of image, I'm going to create this series, maybe we'll use this for licensing, it's going to have this theme, which is sort of the way my work started to drift as I got more established. And that was fine, it's worked well in certain aspects, but I was just craving this, I don't know, I just wanted to go back in time. I don't know how else to describe it.
Yeah, the one thing I noticed as well is when we were scanning some of your art pieces, you came in and you said, oh, there's a couple of those not finished. And I remember inwardly rolling my eyes going, here we go. They're going to be 2 weeks coming back. You just brought them into your studio and you were back 20 minutes later. You just had a couple of things you wanted to do to them. And I was like, oh, I remember this, Laura.
Yeah, so what I was doing with those particular pieces is that often I'll finish a piece and then I might hold it up and I'm just scanning my eye through the painting just to see if there's anything, I call it like weird stuff, like a weird blob of paint that just catches your eye, or a dark mark. So if you have like a high contrast area but you didn't intend there to be that contrast, then I might just go in and like cover up that mark or change that line a little bit. So these are tiny, tiny little refinements. And so it was a case of just going in and spending like a few minutes just, okay, I'm going to fix that line, redefine that line, get rid of that splodge, then it's done. So it's just that last little check. I haven't got to the point where I'm like, just like, here it is. Splatters, weird stuff and all. I still go in and refine my abstracts, but it's just a much quicker process rather than, you know, many, many layers or a lot of contemplation between moves, but just working more quickly and freely. So I've been really enjoying that. It is probably not necessarily the kind of art that my main audience will connect with. And so there's also that you need to work through, because sometimes making the art that you really want to make might be different to what your audience is loving. And, you know, when there's that disconnect, that can cause a lot of uncertainty and frustration and a lack of flow. So I've been working away on these paintings and not sharing too much on social media. Some of that has been purposeful, just not wanting to get into that conversation around, is this good? Is this something that people like? Some of it is probably fear, because some of the pieces are a bit different to what I normally share and it's just easier to hold them back. But there's also a part of it which is the fact that I haven't really processed these pieces. I haven't decided if this is the direction that I want to explore long term. I'm still figuring out where they fit. And so there's an element of that as well. But I think in general, I just overthink too much, which is why I don't end up putting things up for sale. I hold on to them. And I want to get away from that. And I've been looking at some other artists and looking at their online shops and realizing that it's fine to have a few different sections, that you can have like an abstract section and maybe some collages and some botanicals, and it doesn't have to all fit together. And that has been reassuring. And so what I have decided to do is to release this collection, because why not? Like, what else am I going to do with it? It's just sitting there. And yes, I could keep it just for reference. But now that it's finished, I thought, well, you know what? Let's get back into this process of scanning work, photographing work, putting it up on my website, shipping it out. And I love the feeling of doing that. There's something about that. It really scratches an itch for me. And as I've said multiple times in this podcast, I have been feeling a bit nostalgic for those days. So this is bringing up a really lovely feeling of, I don't know, simpler times or something. So anyway, to cut a long story short, I am working on that at the moment. I'm almost ready to publish these. In fact, they might be up on the site at the time that this episode goes out. So I'll leave a link if that's the case, or some other kind of note to say when they will be available. So these are the abstract pieces that I've been talking about. There's not a huge amount of them. I've gone through and picked the ones that I want to put up in the online shop, and I think it's 8 pieces that I've chosen. So that's a good start to get my online shop up and running, and I have them listed in my website on Squarespace, so it's been fairly easy for me to get them up and on there because I have everything set up from previous releases. But I think it's been over a year maybe a year since I've updated my online shop, so it's been quite a long time since I've added any pieces in there. And I'd really like to get back to doing that on a semi-regular basis. It's just, it's fun. It's satisfying. There's something really lovely about sending your art out into the world. And also with the online aspect of it, being able to share your work with people from many different countries rather than just people locally. So I've sent my work to all sorts of places, Sweden and China and everywhere. So it's been pretty cool. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, that's brilliant. We went for breakfast on Sunday and it was up where we used to do markets. You're talking about nostalgia there. I had to go into the shed to find the backing boards, the cover sleeves for the art to be packaged to get sent, if someone buys it, of course. And then we go up to Stirling where we used to do markets. I was like, oh, I remember doing this. Like, I remember hating it.
Yeah, you even hinted at doing it again. And I'm like, I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure if I want to do the sort of art, craft, market scene again. I'm not sure. It is a lot of work and it takes up a lot of your weekend time. So I don't know. An exhibition maybe somewhere would be.
I think an exhibition would be lovely. A great idea.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, so that's what I've been working on. It's been good for developing some ideas for new online classes, but I'm not quite there yet with that. That takes time. It hasn't really been my focus, so I need to turn my attention. But I needed to do this series of paintings just for me. Like, that was something that I needed to do first, and I'm really glad that I've made that decision, because that's really what I'm working on at the moment, is this, you know, putting my creative life and my well-being first before other things. And so, you know, the natural instinct is like, oh, I can turn this into a course. But I'm trying to sort of fight against that a little bit and just make sure that I am creating art that is just for the joy and the fun of it and exploring different things, and then there will be time to work on the class, and it will naturally arise from just spending a lot of time in the studio making work. And as I do that, I'll start to identify things that I feel are unique and interesting processes to share, and stuff that I feel that my community would enjoy. So that's all happening. I've really enjoyed just having that little bit more intensive studio time. But one of the things that I feel about myself, or I've observed about myself, is I'm very all or nothing. I wish I wasn't this way, but I am. I either just want to paint every day or I struggle to get into the studio once a week. I admire people who can just do this sort of 2-3 hours a day and then get all the admin tasks done as well. That would be lovely. But for me, it's like a painting explosion and then followed by an admin nightmare. And that's the cycle that I live in. So I have a flurry of painting activity and then I go and I realize that I have emails, taxes, course queries, website updates, all of that stuff is just piles up in the background. And I guess it's a rhythm, not the rhythm I want, but it's the rhythm that I'm in where I have this flow of creativity and then I have to sort of catch up on other stuff and then another flow of creativity. But it's all good. It happens in the end. And usually there comes a point where I just have to immerse myself in painting and everything else can wait.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying this new version of you.
Yeah, so the theme this podcast series, we haven't really had a proper topic this episode. We just thought we'd catch up and chat and see what came out of the conversation. But the theme is about getting into a flow state. And what I have been doing is sort of tapping into a bit of nostalgia, allowing myself to have plenty of painting time, putting some things on the back burner like my social media and some of my admin tasks just to allow myself to really joyfully explore new processes. And then knowing that, okay, let's be realistic. I am going to have to press pause on that. This is a business. We do have to run it. Getting back into some of the other tasks and then I'll flow back in again. So it's really about that ebb and flow of creativity. And there's no right or wrongs. You know, I think for me, I have to give up on the idea that there is this perfect way to do it, that there is this better way, you know, that instead of doing it in these bursts that I could be doing 2 hours every day, that may not work for me. It might just be like the way my creativity works is very seasonal, that I do get this burst where I need to paint nearly every day for a couple of weeks and then I'm ready to do some computer work and stuff. And that's okay. It doesn't have to be that every day is a painting day and that I do daily painting. It could be that I do a week or two and then I have a bit of a break and yeah.
So when you say flow, are you talking about getting into flow state when you're painting, or are you getting into a flow of balance between computer work and art?
I think I'm talking about both. And I guess in this series of the podcast, I really want to explore the idea of flow in many different applications. So getting into a flow state while painting, what are the ingredients to that? What helps us find flow? Getting into a good flow between balancing creative work and admin work, getting into a good flow with difficult tasks, things that you put off, what are better systems for those things, whether that's taxes or getting your work up onto your website. We had an episode a while back where we talked about stumbling blocks. What was the word we used for it? I've forgotten now. Friction. We talked about where we felt friction in the creative process. So it could be an extension of that as well as to what strategies are we employing to get past those friction points.
Yeah, I remember when I started getting more involved in coaching at a higher level. So I went back to university and I did a diploma in sports psychology and my thesis was on flow state. And how to instigate or to try to get an athlete into flow state, either for training or for competition. And one of the main things I remembered is that you need certain factors to enter into flow state. And one of them is risk. You know, should I use this color? Could I make a mess of this painting? Is this the right direction to go? do I? So there's lots of risk in your painting. And also the task needs to be not too easy and not too hard. It needs to be just difficult enough that you can complete it, but you have to concentrate really, really hard. So there's all these different aspects, and this is for sports. And I'm thinking about getting into flow state for an artist, and it's exactly the same.
You know? Yeah, it's super interesting because I definitely felt that I found flow state in the last couple of weeks with my art, and it had those elements. There was a lot of risk. There were bold choices. There were interesting processes, new materials. But I also had created this container where I had made a decision around the size of the pieces. I had limited my supplies in some ways. I'd even come up with a basic process. So I knew that I was going to start in a certain way and that, you know, I would then bring in, so I started with texture. I was bringing in textural mediums and then washi paint and then finally adding in some acrylic paint. So I actually had a process that I was using. But within that, there was a lot of options because there are many different textural mediums. There are many different ways you can achieve washi, watercolor type effects in your art. And of course, once you add in acrylic, that changes and creates a contrast as well. So there's a lot of movement within that. And then deciding that I wouldn't put the imagery in, just keeping things very abstract. So I had these things that made it feel more accessible because I wasn't going into the studio and thinking, okay, I could paint some leaves, I could do some kind of landscape, flowers, abstract, acrylic, watercolor, whatever, collage. Like I had this enough limitations to make it very accessible and easy, but also challenging. So when I was in there was still a lot to resolve, a lot of decisions to make, and for me it was very interesting and fun and fascinating. So I found a really good flow state with that process, and I do understand why people do, you know, 30-day challenges and 100-day projects and things, because it works. It really works to create a project that, as you say, is not too easy but also not too difficult. So I think that's where we might leave this episode with that, because that's super good advice. So in general, this episode has been around, you know, how to get back into a good flow state, and we will continue these conversations as we move forward in the podcast. So thank you everybody for tuning in, and as always, if you want to find out more about me and our art business, you can head on over to laurahornart.com.